Uh-oh, season 3, episode 3.
Uh-oh, that's like the doggy's threes. Name.
You know what 3 threes is?
Tell me.
The devil's time.
Oh, like in the morning, not 666.
Yeah, right. Because 666 would be an impossible time, except if it's on your clock.
It's on my phone before.
On your phone. I thought it was on your...
On
like,
my home old school...
Yeah.
Like early 2000s clock. But that's a story for another time.
I was in a meeting the other day, and I said I was very tired. But they were like, when does this... Because I work in development. They're like, when does this script take place? When's the setting? And I said, it's contemporary. They're like, no, it's not. And I said, it was the 90s. They're like, that's not contemporary.
Is this not 1992?
I was like, what? But it's not.
Are we not on AOL right now?
The
90s chatting?
Is a period piece. That's so sad.
Oh my God, we're old.
Yeah. And I feel like our fan base skews young. So we were born in 99.
I was, oh, wow. Yeah, yep. That is correct. I was born in 2001, for all of those that are wondering.
Ugh, that's when I graduated high school.
Oh my God. Let's stop. I don't like this game. I don't like this game at all.
How are you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'll be honest.
Okay.
Not great.
Why?
Because I work from home.
True.
I'm a writer.
True.
I can go days without having to talk to people.
That's fair.
Then you come over. I have all these things from like the week that I want to tell you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my voice starts to go because it's not used. I'm not used to speaking. And then when I see you, I'm like, this happened, this happened, this happened. And then we're like, okay, let's record. And I'm like, I feel weak. It's a lot of talking.
Pace yourself better.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why throughout my week, I just talk. There's nobody around, but I just talk.
Okay.
Yeah. Walls.
I feel like I'm not
going
to try that, but
okay.
Interesting tidbit.
Okay. That's cool. I have a cow that I talk to in my bathroom.
You smashed that cow on the floor.
Not on purpose. The ghost did.
You got...
Hey, guys.
You need to get your life right.
You need to get your life right. Ghost stories.
You have like 12. Which one?
I'm going to be putting a couple of them up on Patreon for our subscribers. So, because we're still getting more.
I know.
I'm so.
It's super exciting.
What was that noise? I like it.
I'm going to go ahead and pat myself on the back for that.
Yeah. You've been doing a great job.
Thank you.
I'm going to start kicking it into gear.
But I think I'm going to have to become a patron of our podcast just to hear these stories. You always say, yeah. Oh, this one time, I'll tell you later. And then I never get it.
Yep. Well, we can talk about that, but I'll talk to you about it later.
That's a private argument to be had.
Well, I think you're starting tonight.
I'm starting tonight's story.
So let me tease this one out just a touch.
Give it to... Oh, probably didn't hear that, but it's very loud on the street.
Horns, our fan club. So I have a historical ghost story. I'm going to give a shout out when it becomes my turn, but it was... brought up to us by one of the Dirty Dozen, one of our Instagram followers.
And you know what's so funny about that?
Tell me.
People ask us questions. People say stuff on our Instagram all of the time.
Yeah.
You ignore all of it.
I do.
I answer everyone's questions. I comment on people's things.
If you get a second, that might be me.
The second that story came through, you had read it and you called dibs on it.
Yep. Oh, I keep an eye on
our
Instagram.
Now I know. You see everything that happens and you choose not to respond and to wait for me to do it.
Listen, we have talked about in past episodes this season, I believe, that I am not good at social interaction.
It's not an excuse. Not an excuse.
Yeah, no.
You're a 90s baby. You should know social media better. Yeah.
I like that you can double tap a picture and people just know that you're like, hey, man, I like this.
You just like the word double tap.
Double tap.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm just going to start my story. I think I gave the wrong title last week.
Uh-oh.
This one, it's similar, but here's what it's called.
Double
Unlikely.
Tap.
What?
Double tap.
It's called Double Tap. Oh my God. We'll come back to it. Listen.
Okay.
It's called Unlikely to Hurt Again.
Oh, that's not what you said, but yeah.
And it's going to make you real angry.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good that we're leading with this.
It says here in my notes, huffiest.com. I feel like that's probably not correct. probably HuffPost.
Yeah, probably HuffPost.
But
yeah.
I want to go to Huffiest.com. I'm a little scared.
Yes. If one of our fans could create Huffiest.com, yeah, we will be there every day.
NewYorkTimes.com, Fox News, and The Washington Post.
Okay.
So this is...
You're running the gamut if you're going from Fox News to the Washington Post. Those are on opposite ends of the spectrum.
No, I'm aware of that. My point is, it's a recent story and there's a lot of information out.
Absolutely.
About
you hardly ever leave Wikipedia.
I know. I'm season three. I'm just really branching out.
Bringing it.
I'm proud of myself, you guys. Yeah. I'm just going to say it.
We're all proud
and
of you.
And then I hit myself with the mic. So instantly negates it. Here we go. Albert Flick. Do you know this man?
No, I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, sucks. Sorry.
You know, if it happened after 1905, I don't really pay attention.
Fair. Albert Flick was having a rough go of things in 1978. He was 36, working in a donut shop in Westbrook, Maine, and his wife, Sandra Flick, had called the police to have Albert removed from the apartment they shared after she served him with divorce papers. The marriage was simply not working out, and Sandra had a daughter from another marriage that she needed to think about, 12-year-old Elsie. 3 weeks passed before Sandra called her soon-to-be ex-husband and asked him to pick up his belongings. When Flick showed up later to get his things, he didn't come empty-handed. He came armed with a 3.5-inch jackknife. Little Elsie ran from the room and hid in a bedroom. When she peered out through the crack in the door, she saw Flick holding her mother's bent arm behind her back with one hand, the other covering her mother's mouth. Elsie used the commotion to her advantage and ran out of the apartment, going to a neighbor's for help. The neighbor went up to check on the woman and passed Flick on the stairs leading up to the apartment. He was covered in blood. The neighbor found Sandra in the apartment clinging to life. She had been stabbed in the neck and chest more than 10 times and once through her heart. She lived just long enough to name Albert Flick as her attacker. He was convicted of his wife's murder and spent the next 25 years in prison, getting out early for good behavior. But like most violent criminals, he was released back out into the world. It was around 2003, and Flick was 61. His age and prior conviction didn't slow him down, though. In 2007, he was convicted of punching a woman who prosecutors said was his girlfriend at the time before stabbing her with a fork. So back to prison he went. But don't worry, our system is set up to give violent repeat offenders more than two chances. So he was released from prison again in 2010. And again, he assaulted a woman. This time it was in his apartment. He had argued with her, a woman he was supposedly dating, put her in a headlock, and hit her multiple times in the head with the butt end of a knife. When she got out of his grasp, he picked up a screwdriver and ran after her. She managed to escape the apartment and get help. When police arrived at the building, they found Flick trying to hang himself from a fire escape. Back to prison he went. At this sentencing, the prosecutor pointed out that even though Flick was now in his late 60s, he had proven himself to be a danger to women and that he deserved at least 8 years in prison. The judge disagreed, saying that the man's age hindered his ability to hurt anyone again. Robert E. Crawley, the Maine Superior Court Justice, said at the time that, quote, at some point, Mr. Flick is going to age out of his capacity to engage in this conduct, and incarceration beyond that time doesn't seem to me to make good sense from a fiscal perspective. So in 2014,
wait, I'm gonna guess because he done all this stuff and it didn't make sense fiscally, they just killed him, right?
Totes.
Ah, great story. Great story.
Justice. So in 2014, Flick was released from prison yet again, and since he had served his time, he could simply go on about his life now. That was until he ran into the woman he had chased with the screwdriver. They happened to cross paths on the street, and he told her, "You'll get yours." This threat was a violation to his probation, so off to prison once again. But don't worry, he served less than 2 years and was back out on the streets in 2016. 2 years went by. One day in 2018, Flick went to his local library and came across Kimberly Doby, a 48-year-old woman who was living in a homeless shelter with her 11-year-old twin boys. The shelter required residents to be out of the building during the day, and Flick got on Doby's good side by offering to buy her kids healthy lunches, food she just couldn't afford. She would let him, because what mother wants to turn down food for her kids? It wasn't long after their first meeting that Flick started following her around. He'd even show up at the shelter for meals. He let his intentions be known, and Doby told him she not only did not want a romantic relationship with him, but that she didn't even want to be friends. She asked him to leave her and her children alone. Doby had been working with caseworkers for some time, and they helped her secure an apartment of her own. The small family was excited as they prepared to leave the shelter and start their life anew. It was the day before the caseworkers were coming over to take them to their new home. A fresh start called for fresh clothes, so she took her children and their laundry to a local laundromat. She started to load, then stepped outside with her kids to make a call, sitting on some steps while her boys played on the sidewalk. That's where Flick caught up with them. Staying true to his MO, he pulled out a knife and stabbed Doby 11 times while her boys watched, all in broad daylight. Men inside the laundromat heard Doby scream, and one of them, Dennis Fisher, ran outside and kicked Flick, knocking him down and holding him on the ground until police arrived. The entire attack was caught on surveillance video, as was Flick's purchase of two knives, making a case for premeditation. Yet again, he was charged with murder as Doby died in front of her children. When Judge Mary Gay Kennedy asked if he had anything he'd like to say, he responded with, quote, "Nah." It took the jury 40 minutes to find Flick guilty. Now 77 years old, he has been sentenced to life in prison.
Is that the end of the story?
Yeah.
So this, to me, is the perfect case to make your point.
Yeah.
Because we often talk about people not being thrown into the prison system once murder is committed or rape is committed to be executed.
Yeah, if you rape someone, you can go to prison for like 7 years and then just go about your life.
Right. And my whole thing is always, well, you never know. DNA exonerates a lot of people every year. And you're like, no, I'm talking about the cases where there's clear evidence.
Exactly.
The,
yeah.
The killer admits, like, it's all there.
Yes, I agree. There's tons of people who are probably wrongfully in prison now. But I'm talking about cases like this fucking
piece
of shit.
This is the perfect case to prove your point. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I know you must have been furious writing this story.
So mad.
And it's completely understandable. I don't understand how the judges could continually let this person out.
And when he was old, he was in like his late 60s. The judge just straight up said he's unlikely to hurt again. And then he killed someone.
Well, yeah, you don't need to be in peak physical condition to stab someone or shoot someone.
Yeah.
Ridiculous to think that the mindset changes because you're getting older.
It makes me so mad.
So now
and that's the thing, like, that's what's so shitty about it. It's because, yeah, he murdered someone and then got out on good behavior, but then I feel like all his other crimes where he was physically attacking women were never really taken seriously. He was never really punished for those.
Right.
And he should have been. You're a convicted murderer and you're still assaulting women. You need to go back to prison for the rest of your fucking life.
Well,
like, you don't get a pass.
First place. It's not
100%. That's what I mean. He got like four chances.
For maliciously murdering someone, that should be it. One murder.
Yeah.
One murder like that is not a murder of self-defense. It's not, it wasn't even a crime of passion. Like, he went in there, bought the knife, went in there with the intent to kill, and then did it.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't that just be life in prison or execution right away?
The whole thing makes me angry. And then to base it off of, I feel like the decision to let him out was purely financial. And the judge even said it doesn't make sense from a fiscal standpoint.
But our whole prison system doesn't make sense from a fiscal standpoint.
And also, fine, if it doesn't make sense to keep a murderer locked up, again, take him in the back and shoot him in the fucking head. Problem solved. How much does one bullet cost? I will pay for it for you.
I mean, yeah. I don't know, man. It's obviously we don't live in that world, so we don't know all the ins and outs and minor details of it, but it does seem completely illogical from an outsider's perspective to waste the money to even keep someone on death row for that long who has admitted to doing this, and there's video evidence and people see him covered in blood and the victim says his name.
Yeah.
There's no question.
I don't understand.
So it becomes kind of a query of, does a greater whole have to be, or does the whole have to be greater than the individual? Or is there justice and security for the rest of us in eliminating that threat from existence?
Yes. Eliminate it.
Eliminate it, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
In this case in particular, it's like he had so many chances, and for his next assault to not be taken so seriously
100%.
After he was a convicted murderer,
yes.
He shouldn't have gotten another chance. He then went on to assault another woman and then kill another woman. It's like we don't give a shit about people. We're just... Ugh.
And do you think that these people, these judges who let him off, feel any sense of guilt or remorse knowing this?
I don't think so.
That's pretty sad. That's almost...
And it's interesting. The first judge was a man. The second judge to sentence him to life was a woman.
I thought there was another, there's more than just two judges though.
Yeah, but the man was the one who said from a fiscal standpoint, it doesn't make sense. The last one, his last murder trial, that judge was a female and was like, hi, you're going away forever.
I don't know.
Let's get more female judges. Let's get shit done, ladies.
I would, but I've heard female judges make calls that aren't,
I'm sure they do, of course, but I just feel like...
But I agree.
I feel like physical assaults on women are not taken seriously.
I agree.
Not taken as seriously as they need to be.
I agree. And I think that, I think that in those cases, you know, we've had arguments about the place of man in dealing with female... Not arguments, I'm sorry. Conversations about the place of man in dealing with female issues and discussions and topics and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I feel like this is another place where you can say a man will never understand, you know.
Totally, yeah.
So, why not have a female try the case? I think that's true. I feel like we also need just four more female judges in
general.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're very wise.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yes, we are. We're so smart.
Yes, we are. He's a woman, too.
Oh, you... When you said we're very wise,
women.
You meant women.
Women are wise.
I'm pretty in touch with my feminine side.
That's fair.
All right.
Mr. is a real downer this week.
Well, I'm going to bring you back up.
Okay.
Not really, though.
Oh, okay.
So this is a story that was brought to our attention by a badass member of our Dirty Dozen, S. Brianna. Brianna? On Instagram.
It's probably Brianna. Because you always call my sister Brianna, even though her name is Brianna. So I feel you're inclined to call everyone Brianna.
So S. Brianna, but on her IG, she does just have the name Bri. So I'm just going to call her Bri.
Her Bri.
A huge shout out to Bree for bringing this golden piece of haunted history to my brain. I love it. If you guys out there have stories you think we should cover on SOTW, reach out to us via Instagram at SOTW_podcast or contact us through Patreon at patreon.com/shadows on the wall.
I really want to do like a Patreon kind of, not contest, but like for our members, like to pitch ideas, and then maybe we pull like three of the ones we find like the most interesting, and then maybe have let people vote on the stories they want to hear. Sorry, thinking out loud. Continue.
Yeah, no. That actually, I don't know why that made me think of it, but did I tell you about that guy in the coffee shop that I ran across who insulted our podcast?
What?
Because of, yeah. So I was in a coffee shop grabbing a tea, and I was waiting for my tea to be brewed because it's one of those fancy coffee shops where they don't just give you a bag. And this guy, I noticed he was editing something on his computer, and it was audio, and I asked what he was editing, and he's like, a podcast. And so I struck up a conversation, and I was like, oh, that's cool. What's your podcast about? Blah, 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 blah. And then he asked how many downloads we get. Mm-hmm. Super asshole-y question to ask anyway. But I told him, and he's like, oh, you guys haven't even cracked 10,000 yet? And I was like, bitch.
What a little... He was an asshole.
And I think that like the thing was, and what I said to him is, I will put our dirty dozen against your 10,000 any fucking day of the week.
Guess what, bro? Your house just got burned down.
Yeah. Like, we've been telling people stories about murderers and fucking... Yeah.
What was his fucking great podcast about?
It was like an 80s TV show that they would rewatch episodes and discuss shit. I don't know. I didn't care. It was...
Fuck him.
No, he was a dick, but I'm happy with our little army of monsters.
We actually like what we do, so fuck that guy and his tiny, tiny dick.
My mom listens to this podcast, but...
Oh, stop it. Your mom loves it.
So real quick, before we dive in, I do want to have you describe real quick the setting for this.
Wait, real quick?
Real quick. I realized as I was saying, I'm like, did you just say real quick or were you thinking it?
So
tell people what you're seeing there.
Is this my future home? I believe.
I don't know if you want it to be, but maybe.
It's like a real big...
It's a hotel.
Oh, okay. It kind of looks like if you expanded Downton Abbey.
Oh, that's a good way to describe it.
Kind of looks like that, right?
But it kind of looks like the kind of hotel that would be haunted, right?
For sure. But it's very much like kind of a country-esque, British kind of feel to it.
Okay. All right. Good description.
It's got a lot of windows.
It's got a lot of windows. That's what they say. All right. So.
What?
Wikipedia.
Yeah. I missed you.
Are you being sponsored by them yet?
I missed you, Wiki. Only I am being sponsored. My life is sponsored by Wikipedia, so thank you, Wiki.
Crescent-Hotel.com, Historic Hotels of America, and Legends of America, as well as Atlas Obscura.
America!
Did some research for this one.
Okay.
So,
I wouldn't have picked it.
Let's start with the opening line from an 1886 article in the Eureka Springs Times
Echo.
You
fucking would.
With the opening of the grandiose Crescent Hotel, Eureka Springs entered a new and exciting era. Notables from afar are arriving in our fair city, and soon many others will follow. So, it's pretty clear the city of Eureka Springs was excited about this new hotel opening up, hoping it would bring prosperity and notoriety to their little city. And it did, just not in the way they intended.
Dun, dun, dun. Insert
you for that.
Mario theme here.
Dun, 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 dun. No, wow. What game are you playing? The knockoff Mario?
I'm playing the 99 version of Mario.
All right. So your system's obviously broken and playing every other note. See, the Crescent Hotel, built for a cost of $294,000, kicked things off in a grand way. They swung open their doors and threw a huge gala in what is now the Crystal Ballroom. Hundreds of high-class citizens enjoyed a night of dancing to live music, wine, and elegant seafood dishes like the hotel's famous Crab Lorenzo still served today. And why not? After all, the town and the hotel were built atop the more than 60 springs of healing water that the city was named for. The hotel was purchased by the Frisco Railroad in 1905, and everything was going splendidly. And as we know, everything after 1905 doesn't matter, so my story stops here. Hope you all enjoyed
it. Thanks for listening.
Of course, all good things come to an end. And eventually the novelty of the spring water wore off. with off-season seeing fewer and fewer guests. Thus, the Crescent Hotel became the Crescent College and Conservatory for Young Women from autumn through spring, taking full advantage of the tennis courts, pool, and croquet grounds to develop championship athletic teams. Sadly, after several years of this rotation, it became clear the women's college was not pulling in enough money to keep the hotel doors open.
Women don't need to go to college. Let's close it.
Leading to the Crescent Hotel being shut down and sitting near dormant for 6 years. Then in 1937, Dr. Norman Baker came to Eureka Springs. Baker was many things. He was a self-educated inventor, vaudevillian, a radio pioneer, and publisher, just to name a few.
Calm down.
He was not, however, a doctor. Which makes it quite odd that he would don himself one and reopen the hotel as a cancer hospital and health resort.
What? Yeah. I'm a radio operator, which means I can operate on anything.
You guys got an ailment? I'll cure it right here, right now.
I was trying to do that voice, but you do it so much better.
That's just my normal voice.
Hey, you want to play Mario?
Hey, that's pretty good. Thanks. Was that you trying to do Mario, though?
Mm. Yeah.
Now known as Baker's Cancer Curing Hospital.
Baker's Dozen.
Official title. Nope. The grand structure once again had people flocking from across the country to visit. With a hefty mix of fresh air, nutritious food, exercise, and of course, Dr. Baker's special elixir, people arrived in droves hoping to be cured of their ails. They didn't know that Baker's elixir was primarily alcohol, corn silk, and watermelon seeds.
Well, that'll make you feel real good.
Yeah, I feel like that's a cocktail here in LA,
though. I
want
to try it. Yeah.
The cell was simple. No surgeries, no painful tests. You come in, trust the system, and walk out cancer-free.
What a piece of shit, man. Yep.
The thing is, many didn't walk out cancer-free.
No.
Many didn't walk out at all. Do you want to do the music?
I was going to.
I know.
It was going to be overkill, so I didn't.
I saw it in your eyes,
now
though.
I regret
I was like,
it.
It's coming. It's coming. More than 40 people died in the short time the hospital existed under the fraudulent man. It wasn't until Baker, who was making $500,000 per year in profit, was caught on a charge of mail fraud that all this came to light. He was subsequently sentenced to a mere 4 years in Leavenworth Federal Prison. Today, Eureka Springs is known as Halloween City.
Oh, shit.
Kind of cool, right?
I'm in.
Yeah. With many haunts happening throughout the town, most focused around the Crescent Hotel. In 2019, this year, an artist stumbled upon a cache of hundreds of bottles buried behind the hotel. There were tumors and tissue samples preserved in alcohol, as well as the old doctor's infamous cancer-curing elixir, known as Elixir No. 5. They also found 16mm film advertisements, medicine dispensing tools, and a bone saw, just in case the elixir wasn't working.
That is so cool.
So this stuff from the early 1900s was preserved in alcohol. So you're looking at tumors and like...
That is so cool.
How creepy though, right?
No, totally. Also, who's just like digging back there?
Just some dude.
What's that dude's story?
That's next episode. Prior to this, in 1997, when the hotel was bought by Marty and Elise Roenick... I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Probably not.
Two highly certified mediums were brought in, Ken Fugit and Carol Heath.
Can you be a highly certified medium?
I think you make your own certifications in that case. Yeah. Like, it's just about owning a good printer.
Totally.
The latter reported a portal to the other side for those who were on the same, quote, frequency. Jack Moyer, the hotel manager since the medium's visit, said he started as a skeptic, but his view was shifted after years and years of guests reporting strange incidents. Even ghost tour guide Keith Scales had to address his concerns when night after night guests were becoming faint and passing out in the exact same spot on the tour, right where Heath had noted the terrifying portal. The two men investigated and found out there was an old morgue buried at the bottom level of the hotel, and the portal was directly above it. While Moyer remains skeptical, claiming 95% of people's experiences can easily be explained by science or a craving to believe, there's still that 5% that can't. And that is what makes this hotel one of the most haunted in America. Now, if you're curious about the Crescent Hotel, Go to americasmosthauntedhotel.com. You can sign up for a ghost tour and see if the portal is there. If so, please let us know. Don't just step through.
If they go through, yeah, though, will we know?
And if you want SOTW to visit and do a live show there.
What's that? What's happening
which
now?
Which would be pretty fun. Oh, did I not share this with you? Did I not? Yeah.
Remember we said, like, don't spring things on me while we're recording?
People can visit our Patreon and gift us $1 per month. And when we get to 5,000 patrons, we'll start doing live shows at some of America's most haunted
locations. In haunted houses?
Yeah. You don't believe in ghosts anyway.
But these are the things you got to run by me before we start.
Nah, that takes away from the fun. Yeah, I feel like I shouldn't have even said it on the show. I just should have like brought you, been like, we're going to go on vacation.
That is so mean. I would kill you. I'd bury you in the back with all those other organs. We're going on vacation. You take me to where? Where is this?
This is in Eureka Springs. Yep. Eureka Springs.
Feels like a place. Middle America? I'm not going to lie. I don't want to go.
Yeah. How did I not write down what state this was in? It's in Eureka Springs.
Okay. Okay.
Cool, 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 cool.
If that's not Eureka Springs, Bahamas, I don't want to take a vacation there.
So I'm going
to
show
that's
you.
That's untrue. I would totally go to the hotel.
Well, I know you would. You would have fun.
I don't want to make a vacation out of it, though.
We're just going to hear weird things in the night.
This is our trip for the next 2 years.
You'd be like, honey, I think there's a ghost, and I'm going to flip around and be like, just hand you your microphone.
Yeah.
Like, start talking.
Like, I know there is. I brought all of
this. We've been recording this whole time. Yeah. So this is one of the doctor's ads. Obviously, he was a snake oil salesman, but just simple, but it's basically promising people a cure for cancer.
That, I mean, it's so.
With watermelon seeds. Which, don't get me wrong, I love watermelon.
Watermelon's very good for you, but. Yeah. Hmm. Oh, we'll, it says it just, they have proof.
It says they have proof. We'll post this on social media as well, his old advertisement.
It's so sad, just what, like, just people, how much people get taken advantage of.
But people still do this today. I've done research for scripts, and doctors will be like, we can cure it, we just need $10,000, and people
doctors,
go.
Doctors, really?
Not. Well, yeah, actually, real doctors. Yeah, I mean, not good doctors, but they'll have like a private practice and they'll promise some, you know, this mix of herbs and you're going to start seeing results and just give us another 10, 15 grand.
Fucked up.
People go into poverty. They go into debt because of this stuff. Yeah.
I know.
Not that people don't go into debt with America's medical system anyway. But
that's sad.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Because I always feel like it's just like these little older ladies who are probably just like,
oh yeah,
just lonely and want someone to talk to, and then all of a sudden they've given them like $100,000.
Absolutely. It's, and people so know it, mean. And they prey on them. But I do have to say, Brie, I did a lot of research for this story. I couldn't find that much about the actual horror happenings aside from little snippets of people's experiences.
Yeah, like why it's haunted. Is it supposedly
it's
haunted
people,
just
it's
because
the people
the
who
40,
died there,
the more than 40 who have died,
yeah,
there,
yeah,
are,
yeah,
just staying around.
Those are the ones that they say haunted.
Yeah,
but there's little snippets of people's stories about hearing things or seeing things.
Oh, and you couldn't find those?
I could find those, but they're just little, like, almost like Yelp reviews of like, this happened to me. There, yeah, wasn't an overarching horror thing.
That's like when I did the asylum story. It was
totally
kind of not anything like specific happened there, and then people would just be like, this,
yeah,
kind of thing. I felt weird when I was here or whatever. Yeah.
But I still think the story of the doctor is fascinating.
No, but that's like all ghost stories. We're,
yeah,
we're asking for proof.
Well, I think proof. No, but I think normally we cover a lot of possession stories. There's, yeah, a lot more of like the actual haunt. Exactly.
Like priests and stuff. Yeah.
But I do, researching this, I was just like, this fucking doctor. And that really got me interested in, I mean, how you can just go. Back then, you could just go open up a place and be like, I have a cure for whatever
ails you.
People
always say, you can be whatever you want to be. Not now, but back then, you sure could. You could tell people anything you wanted, and there was no way to verify it.
Absolutely.
You could be like, hey, I'm a doctor.
Yeah. You could go to a new town, change your name, and you were a new person.
Totally. God, I want to do that.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that you're going? Or?
Bye.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Okay, we'll end it on a little happier note, I guess you'd call that. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm glad
people
that
suck.
People suck, but I like when people tell us stories that they want to hear us cover, because it makes our job easier. And also, we don't know every scary story that's out there. I didn't know about this hotel, so
tell us more. And I like trying to find more of like the less mainstream. How do I say that?
Yeah, no,
but
absolutely.
Just like the smaller kind of stories are what fascinates me, because we all know not the details of like the bigger stories, but we've all heard about the main ghost things.
There's so many podcasts out there covering all this stuff.
I like all the kind of the smaller ones. Right. And I think they're fascinating.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good job.
So, all right.
Well, my voice is pretty much gone now. It's enough talking for me. So, thanks, guys. Good night.
Sweet dreams.